live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Couldn't see our drummer this morning, but he was back there doing a great job. Amen. Glory. Wow, this is an exciting morning for me. 20 years of ministry and 10-year anniversary in this building. God is such an awesome God. But you know, our roots go way back to the church on the hill where we were saved. And in 1983, we moved to Athens. Tammy and I went there to work at Children's Services as house parents, and we started going to a little church where Pastor Kevin Sylvester was a pastor. And I learned so much from this man. I think I learned mostly about faith, walking. You walk by faith and not by sight. And during that period of time, because of his faith teachings, Tammy and I had enough faith to step out and start seeing Akara. And as I look back on that, we were crazy. But hallelujah. We wasn't doing it because we thought we could. We were doing it because we believed God wanted us to. Jim and Mary Huffman were an intricate part of that. And it was just a really exciting time in our life. And it is exciting for me this morning to have my former pastor here this morning to share with you. He's an awesome man of God. His wonderful wife, Gloria, is here with him this morning, and they pastor in Pennsylvania. He is now pastoring Assemblies of God, correct? And just doing an awesome job up there. God has been blessing him, and I am so glad that that is happening. And I know that he's going to be a great blessing to you. So I just want you all to give Pastor Kevin Sylvester a great praise God for coming up and sharing with us.
Thank you. Very sweet. Thank you. Good morning, church. I came here by invitation of your pastor, and I believe I got something to say by way of the Holy Spirit. But I want to say a few things just by way of my expression of appreciation to you and recognition for who you are and what I have observed just so very briefly this morning and this weekend. It's been a thrill to see some familiar faces and some not familiar faces that are very friendly. Happy anniversary, Bethel. Amen. Happy anniversary. Go ahead, give yourself a good hand clap. It's all for Jesus. It's all for the glory of the Lord. It's scary. I get to some conferences every now and then, and they talk about the rising tide of churches in decline and churches closing their doors every month in America. You guys, 20 years. These doors will never close till Jesus comes back and opens a bigger door. Congratulations, Pastor Rob and Tammy. I love you both. Thank you for the invitation. This church is such an expression of Jesus. Now, I just want to say a couple of things. First thing, it's sad, but my watch broke, and I'm not saying that to kid you. I went to put it on this morning, it just wasn't working. I said, well, this must be the Holy Ghost telling me to just preach till 4 o'clock. Gloria said, you just need a new battery is what you need. But I want to say to you as a church, to your pastors, your team, your staff, you excel at hospitality here at Bethel. You excel at hospitality. Somebody needs to tell you that because things get lost in the shuffle and the busyness of what we do, but it is so evident to me and my wife from the moment we got here, when Pastor and Tammy showed us our accommodations and have been so kind to spend time with us, and then being here this morning and seeing you, greeting you, and being greeted back by you. You excel at hospitality. You excel at so many things. I saw the incredible decor, the preparation for children's ministry and Vacation Bible School. Can I tell you, you have raised the bar. The bar has been raised. We back where we live in Pennsylvania, between Philadelphia and Harrisburg, there are several large churches that go crazy for Vacation Bible School. In fact, I wish I would have had a way to put a big full-page ad in the Columbus Dispatch and saying, you need to make your way southeast to Bethel Worship Center and be amazed at what God is doing here. I am serious. I've been in churches of over 3,000 people. They do not have this sense of art and creativity and just the dimension of what you're... It was blowing my mind here in worship. I'm thinking a volcano. I've never preached with a volcano on the platform. A waterfall, little kind of psychedelic waterfall with Brother Otis right in the water. Come on. Just you're in the flow. You have been in the flow. And I mean, the unknown drummer, the invisible. I said to my wife, I know there's a drummer here. I said, she said, he's behind the waterfall. These rocks, I'm thinking, and the vines, and then Swiss Family Robinson, come on. This, you excel at creativity. You excel at presentation. You excel at hospitality. You excel in your vision. And this, maybe this is the most important piece. You excel at your vision to reach this community, to reach your area. I'll tell you what's missing. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Not that you haven't done it, not that I'm the only one that knows it, but we got to let this secret out. There are more people who are starving and thirsting for what you have. And I pray that today God helps us figure out how we're going to let them know just that. You excel in the worship experience. I felt right at home. I didn't know. Well, I only know the only song I knew was Nothing But the Blood, the only one I knew. But I could sing all the rest of them. They were very singable. They were very clappable. They were very kind of, do you guys do any moves when you sing and clap? Don't make me come down there and make you dance. No. You excel in your expression of worship, and you excel in your vision to take what God has given you. I know your pastors, two of the most humble, gracious, sweet, God-honoring people I know. Never take credit for anything, but you excel in humility. And I'm telling you, it's getting ready to bust out. It is getting ready. Listen, Bethel has not lasted for 20 years to just say, well, we had a good run. We're getting ready. We're getting ready to run. Getting ready to run. Talk to the person next to you and say, he's talking to you. Right now, we're getting ready to run. Getting ready to run. Somebody might have to help me with the time. I still have that broken watch. I want to talk about moving up to the next level today. Moving up to the next level. Specifically, I'm going to talk about pursuing the Spirit-filled life, but it really deals with being able to push the limits, being able to see further than we've seen, and then step up into that, step up into the next level. And I was doing a little reading just to kind of help us figure it out as we get started. You know, some people are always pushing the limits, and sometimes they're in the wrong way. What I do?
Somebody's gracious enough to give them their watch.
Oh, that is so sweet. I thought I was in trouble for a minute. Of course, we all know what it means. We know what it means when the preacher looks at his watch. Not a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. The Lord is faithful, and God is so good to us. Some people push the limits in the wrong way, and I want to tell you one of those stories before we get into the Word of God this morning. Thank you again for your very gracious invitation. I do not take it lightly for one second to be a part of what you're doing. And I believe you're making history this morning. I really do. I believe this church is making history. And I think there will be a day when it's recorded what happened this day, what happened in the last 20 years, and how you were so faithful to honor God and keep up, keep on, stay on course, stay on track, holding up Jesus, holding up the word of faith, holding up the message of God's love and truth. There are people all around us every day that need a Savior. They need hope. They need help. They need somebody to just take a moment and give them a smile. It's not always reading a Bible out loud to them or slapping them on the back and saying a loud prayer. It just might be being kind to a neighbor, giving them an opportunity to see Jesus in you. But let's push the limits a little bit, but maybe not this way. I don't know if you've heard this story. I was told it's a true story. This lawyer down in Charlotte, North Carolina, he pushed the limits, I think, a little too much. He purchased a box of very rare and expensive cigars and then insured them against fire, among all things. Within a month, having smoked the entire stockpile of these great cigars, and without even making his first premium payment on the policy, the lawyer filed a claim with the insurance company. In his claim, the lawyer stated that the cigars were lost in a series of small fires. I was told this was true. The insurance company refused to pay, citing the obvious reason, that the man had consumed the cigars in the normal fashion. The lawyer sued and won. In delivering the ruling, the judge agreed with the insurance company that the claim was frivolous. The judge stated, nevertheless, that the lawyer held a policy from the company in which it had warranted that the cigars were insurable and also guaranteed that it would insure them against fire without defining what is considered to be unacceptable fire, and they were obligated to pay the claim. Isn't that silly? Rather than enduring lengthy and costly appeals, the insurance company accepted the ruling and paid $15,000 to this lawyer for his loss of rare cigars in the fires. But after the lawyer cashed the check, the insurance company had him arrested on 24 counts of arson. With his own insurance claim and testimony from the previous case used against him, the lawyer was convicted of intentionally burning his insured property and was sentenced to 24 months in jail and a $24,000 fine. That would never happen in Meigs County, would it? I want to talk about moving up to the next level in a better way, hopefully a better way than that. And again, I appreciate so much the chance to be here to share that good news with you. God's word is always good news, isn't it? It's always good news. Whether we're feeling low, whether we're feeling up, whether it's going right, whether it's going wrong. Appreciate what Sister Ivy said. It's just not always coming up roses. It's not always sunshine and rainbows. Sometimes we're down in the ditch. Sometimes we're sweating in the ditch. Sometimes we're wondering, are we going to see daylight again? But the word of God is always good news. And that's why we need to hide it in our heart and keep hearing it. I love Sunday morning church, don't you? Amen. Let's talk about moving up to the next level. Got a picture on the screen of a bicycle. You know, how many of you remember having a bicycle with training wheels, either for your children or for yourself? Having a bicycle with training wheels, you know, they serve a valuable purpose. Had the privilege as a father to put training wheels on and take training wheels off four bicycles. We're blessed to have four children and now four grandchildren. And it's great having grandchildren. It's a little more tiring from time to time because they don't know that you're just a pop-up or a nana. They think you're still, it's ready to go. Let's go, let's go. And training wheels have always helped. But there comes a time when the training wheels come off. And you see, once you take the training wheels off, that's really where the riding experience comes in. I remember that's when you could jump the ramps. You could take sharper turns. In fact, there's a few times with training wheels on, if they're not they're actually not on properly, you can get into a rut and pedal, 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 and the wheel's just spinning. You're not going anywhere. But once those training wheels comes off, talking about moving up to the next level this morning, once the training wheels come off, you have a whole lot more latitude in your riding experience. You can go faster. You go further. You can take sharper turns. You can make more accurate maneuvers. And then there's the sheer pleasure of knowing I'm doing this with my own 2 feet. I'm balanced. How many of you ever took your hands off the handlebar just for a little bit? You know, this is all it takes is a wrench to take the training wheels off a bicycle. That's it right there. Usually just 2 nuts and you can get the training wheels off a bicycle and let your child or grandchild experience all that freedom of riding. It's a different story altogether, though, for grown-ups. Once we've gotten comfortable in our ways, we may not want the training wheels to come off. We like cruising safely down the road, down our familiar path. Anybody here still ride a bicycle? Remember, you know this old saying said, once you learn how to ride, you never forget. I found an addendum for that, though, particularly if you haven't ridden for a while. The less you ride, the hills are harder to climb. I got a big idea for us. Our message is moving up to the next level. And here's our big idea. Everyone has a next level in front of them. You have a next level in front of you. Training wheels are probably off. You probably know how to ride with your hands off the handlebars. You probably can cruise. You may not like to hit the hills, but you know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about our life, and I'm talking about our life in God. I'm talking about our response to Jesus' words to take this gospel to the nations, to take it around the block and to take it around the world, to let somebody know that God loves them with an incredible love and has a great plan for their life. Everybody's got a next level in front of them. We can't afford cruise control in the last days. Everybody has a next level. You know, I think of some famous Bible personalities that had a next level in front of them that were a little more obvious, like Moses. Moses had a next level in front of him. You know, Moses grew up in the Pharaoh's house, but then he wound up getting into a fight. He killed a man. He went to the other side of the desert. He went into hiding. He wound up being a shepherd. This was a man raised in Pharaoh's house. He met his wife there. He was working for his father-in-law, hiding out, but then he had an experience with God. We remember the burning bush. God spoke to Moses, and God called him up to be a leader because God had a next level for Moses. He went from growing up in royalty to hiding out as a criminal to being called of God and then being chosen to be a great leader. He struggled with that a little bit, but God always had another level for him. And you know most of that. He stood before the great Red Sea when God said, I will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And God made a way because God had another level for him. King David had a next level in front of him before he was ever king. You remember what David was? He was a shepherd. He tended sheep for his father. He was carrying lunch to his brothers who were in the army of Israel. They were fighting against the Philistines. And David went that day. There was another level in front of him that day. He might not have known it that morning, but he was prepared for it. And that day, the shepherd, in the face of the armies of Israel and the Philistines, the shepherd stepped up to his next level, and he brought that giant down because he walked with God. Simon Peter in the New Testament, another Bible personality, had several levels in front of him. Do you remember the one shameful night, though, when he denied that he even knew Jesus? He was fearful for his own life. And yet he had been as close to him as any of the disciples. In fact, closer. Peter, James, and John were closer than the other disciples. But that night in the courtyard, he said, I don't know him. 3 times. And he wept bitterly later when Jesus passed him by because he knew he had let his master down. But it was just a matter of a few short days before Peter stepped up to that next level in his life, filled with the Holy Spirit, a changed man. The man who had been cowardly, who had been fearful, now was speaking on the streets of Jerusalem to thousands of people with a holy boldness and with a fire in him that compelled people to listen to his words, and their hearts were torn, the scripture teaches us in Acts. And it says they cried out, "What must we do to be saved?" Because Peter stepped up to his next level. He wasn't content to stay back and just feel sorry for himself and think, "Oh, I blew it. That's a shame. I felt so bad. I let the Lord down. I guess I'll never be able to show my face again." I can show you that next slide we have of an African impala. I brought a tape measure for me. I didn't know I'd have so many visual aids, so this really helps me. This creature, I'm not sure how high this is, but I want to measure this right here. They can jump to a height of 10 feet. Let's see where we are here. 10 feet. Somebody might know how high this is. That's a little higher for 10 feet here. Whole thing is what? 14. Okay, so 4 feet below there. There is 10 feet, right at the top of that tape measure, 10 feet. They can jump to that height. Probably got some good jumpers here. I don't know if anybody could hit 10 feet. And they can, Pastor, could you help me just a second? Just hold this right here. And I'm going to run over this way. And they can go this far horizontally, a little further. From me to Pastor, 30 feet, 10 feet, 30 feet in a single jump. African impala. That's a jump. One jump. I wished I had a video. It was so hard to find them because they were all so grainy. But these guys will get running through the Serengeti and get running through the brush, particularly if there's a predator after them. And they kind of leap like lambs, but their leap takes them 30 feet and 10 foot in the air. Now, that would impress me. If I saw that, Pastor, thank you. But you know something? In the zoos, where they're enclosed with just a 3-foot fence, they can't get out of the fence. They won't jump over the fence because they won't jump anywhere where they can't see where their feet will land. And because they're not that big, and they can't see the other side of the fence, so they won't even jump, even though they've got the capability, 10 feet. Oh, just don't you wish we could jump like 10 feet high, 30 foot long, but they can't get out of an enclosure with a 3-foot fence. They just can't see beyond the fence that closes them in. And here's where I want us to take off a little bit this morning. What fence might be closing you in? What might be keeping you from taking that next step in God, that next step in faith, that next step of service, that next step of growing, whether it's reaching a neighbor, a coworker, whether it's doing an act of kindness, whether it's the next step of giving. You know, God speaks to people all the time. The question has never been, is God speaking in our day? The question is, are we listening? Are we listening to what God is saying, and then are we responding? So I want you to think about that for a little bit, and I'm going to try to move this along because I want to pray before we leave. But think about what fence might be closing you. And maybe you think, you know what, Kevin, there's no fence closing me. I can jump like an impala. I can go. I am running. It's good. It's all good with God. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That's me. I'm a running, jumping machine for Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. If you are, lay hands on me before you get out of here, because some days I really still feel like a pop-up. And my jump sometimes has lost its altitude. But I do want you to know this is so true. You can go further. You will go further. You will go further than you can imagine when you follow after the leading of the Holy Spirit. He's not just an anonymous person in the Trinity. He is the power of God. He is the third member of the Trinity that is throughout the earth today to give us the power, the boldness, the gumption, the go power, if you will. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Well, the Holy Spirit gives us that go power. And when we follow His leading, you'll go further than you ever thought you could. You see, when you follow only the flesh, well, I don't think I can. I see that Impala. I see that picture. I hear what you're saying. I can't sing like Otis. I can't preach like Pastor. I can't love like Tammy. Listen, when you follow after the flesh, when you follow it just what your flesh is telling you, what you think you can do, what you never have done before, you're setting limits already that don't need to be set, and you'll never, listen to me, you'll never find fulfillment in following after the flesh. So let's look at our text this morning, at least our opening text, Romans chapter 8, and I believe we have a slide for this. Romans chapter 8, great Bible study chapter. If you ever not sure where to read on a morning, you wake, dive into Romans chapter 8. You can take it in about 14 bite-sized pieces, and it'll bless you wherever you start, whether it's at the beginning or the middle of the chapter. In verse 5, the Apostle Paul says this, those who live according to the flesh, in other words, those who insist on just doing it on their own ability, own experience, own tradition, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what their flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I want to read that last part, verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So, the real issue becomes, are you dead or alive? Is your faith living and thriving in the freedom of the Holy Spirit? Are you challenged? Are you rising to the challenge? Are you trying to go with God? Or are you just settling for what will be, will be? You know that song that they all sing in the churches where nothing changes and they just, you know, it doesn't matter. Don't expect God to do great things. You know, our town is just the way it is and there's some mean people. You know the song they sing. Sing it with me. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. Sing it now. I can't hear you. The future's not ours. Que sera, sera. What a bunch of stuff. I'm glad I didn't hear that song here this morning. You and I have some influence in this matter. When we're ready to step up to our next level, we can do something for God if we want to do something for God. If we're willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. This isn't fairy tales. This isn't just for vacation Bible school. I was so excited when I heard what was happening here this week with these kids. And then to hear that impressions were made, lives were changed. People were saying, I want to come back. I want that. Terry was right. There was a wow factor, and the wow factor is still here. And I believe you're going to keep that wow factor alive. So the real issue is, are you dead or are you alive? Have you settled? Have you just settled for less? Oswald Chambers said this. Let me just listen to this. He said, the Holy Spirit cannot be located as a guest in a house. He invades everything. The Holy Spirit destroys my personal private life and turns it into a thoroughfare for God. It's extraordinary how things fall off a man like autumn leaves once he comes to the place where there's no rule but the personal domination of the Holy Spirit. The great idea is not that we are at work for God, but that He is at work in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. You know, there's a great picture in the Old Testament of God supernaturally leading His people to a next level. And I would say most everyone here, probably everyone here, is familiar in some way with the account of Moses and the children of Israel. There's so much detail, and if you read in your Old Testament, four of the first five books of the Bible, that's all they deal with is Moses being called of God and leading the children of Israel out of bondage into Egypt. It's a great picture of God leading people into a next level. And I wanted to just camp there for a moment. If we can go to Exodus chapter 13, another piece of scripture here. You know that we all know that he led them out. There was the plagues and there was the bondage and people were frightened. They'd been slaves for over 400 years and Moses persistently went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go, let my people go." And he finally responded and let them go. And there were miracles that were ahead of them because God was taking them to another level. Here in Exodus 13, verse 17, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Isn't that like us? It gets a little tough, and we think, I don't know about this faith business. I don't know what pastor's saying. I mean, it does sound good on Sunday morning, but by Tuesday night, I'm worn out. It's not fun anymore. It's just not so much fun. God knew that. He said, if that was the shortest route, if they're faced with battle, they think everything's going smooth, they might change their minds and go back. And what would they go back to? Bondage, slavery, no sense of heritage, no name, no witness for God. Verse 18 says, so God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. I guess this message today is for all of us who, when we look at our lives, we might realize we've been gone in a roundabout way. We've been just gone in a roundabout way to God's land of promise. There have been pitfalls. There's been obstacles. There's been ruts in the road. when we pulled back the lane to go back to the cabin last night, we were greeted by two visitors we didn't know, a big moo cow and a little moo cow. and I didn't know what to do. I'd never had that happen before, and so I just kind of drove up close, and they went off to the side, and we were able to drive by and go back down to where we were staying. And as soon as I shut the car off, I heard this loud, standing, I'm not exaggerating, right at our bumper, this huge cow with this huge head. And we're not used to, I mean, we live kind of in the country, but we don't get that close to cows. Gloria says, "Do you think they'll attack us?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I never had to wrestle a cow before. Let's find out." Really wasn't a big pitfall. When we got out of the car, they weren't much interested. They must have got a good whiff of us and said, "Nothing good here," and off they went. Some of us have been going in a roundabout way for a long time, and God's been speaking by His Holy Spirit, and I think He's speaking real accurately to us today. He says this is a time to move up, because it all involves a decision. It's time to move up to that next level of following after the Holy Spirit. Let me finish this passage in verse 18 there, where God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. It says, then the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. The old King James says they left in orderly array. They left in ranks as they went out of Egypt toward the land of promise. Then it says the Lord went ahead of them. And you know this, many of you know this. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and He provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel either by day or by night. And the Lord did not remove the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire from them, from its place in front of the people. I'll be honest with you. I think we could just park right here, and if we just use our imagination a little bit and realize that this is part of our history. This is not just a story from the Bible. This is part of our history, your history and my history. These are stories or actual biblical, historic biblical accounts of men and women of faith who chose to follow God when they didn't know where it was going to take them, when they didn't know there'd be air conditioning at the next rest stop. They didn't know if the restrooms would be clean at the next rest stop. These people didn't even know if they'd have drinking water or something to eat, and they chose to follow God. It's a part of our heritage in faith, and we could read how God led them during that time. But this whole deal with the pillar of cloud by day to give them shade. How many of us know shade is a great simple pleasure on a hot, sweaty day? Man, just to find a shade tree sometime. Now, I mean, I get all the hot and sweaty stuff. We have a saying back in Pennsylvania, the church that sweats together sticks together. I get all that. But there's nothing quite like a shade tree. And God gave them this huge cloud to lead them by day. And then at night, a fire, a pillar of fire. Oh, you'd all be out taking selfies with the flame behind you. And look at that, sending. Look, you'll never believe this. I could just stand here and think of one spinoff after another, talk about what their enemies must have thought. We never saw that before. Their God must be God. He is the real God. This is how God led his people as he was taking them on their next step. But I don't want to just camp there. Let's just look at the standouts that we could pull out of this and unwrap this a little bit before we leave today. And I think the biggest lesson for all of us here, and maybe you already know this, but a lesson we find throughout Scripture is simply this. Your circumstances are not your life. Your circumstances are not your life. You may be in a ditch. You may be discouraged. You may be down and out. You may be mad. You may be happy. You may have a reason. You may have been offended. I'm telling you, your circumstances are not your life. I don't know how many times. I've lost count. Gloria and I, there were times, especially when we were early married and trying to figure out how to do some of the things, because we kind of came together in a kind of crazy time. It was crazier for me, I think, than for her. But she got it real fast. But many times, there was more month left at the end of the month than there was checkbook. How many of you know what I'm saying? We learned again, our circumstances are not our life. Money's not always the answer anyway. You know, there are people say, if I had more money, I'll tell you what you'd do if you had more, you'd spend more. The deal is not to spend it, it's to invest it. And those who follow God invest wisely in the things of God. I was so excited to hear that this was also Impact Sunday. When I heard that, I just saw that thing is going to shrink like a balloon. This is going to shrink like a balloon. God is going to do a great thing. You know, debt can be a taskmaster, but God's going to do a great thing. There will be people raised up. God will speak to them, and they'll say, I can do that. And they're going to step alongside and help. They'll move up to a next level because, sir, our circumstances are not our life. We are not defined by our circumstances. Now, why do I say that? Remember now, God led them out, but in not what seemed to be the obvious way. He didn't take them the shortest route. Remember, because he said, well, they might see that there's a battle ahead and say, I'm going back. I'm not doing that. They might see the Philistines up there. I'm going back. I don't want to go any further. You know this, and I know it. God is never limited by our time. He's not limited by my circumstances, by my time clock, by my logic. I could probably count on one hand the time God did things logically, that it happened the way I thought it would happen. God's not limited by that. And I'll tell you this, he knows you better than you know you. He knows you better than you know yourself. Fire by night and a cloud by day, two unmistakable signs from God to give them direction, to give them light, to give them protection, to give them identification. It was a daunting sign to their enemies that these are the people of God, the fire and the cloud. In spite of that, and you can read as you go back and revisit the Old Testament there. In spite of that, many turned away. Many chose not to believe. They chose not to follow God, and they never entered the land of promise. Now, you know and I know this because it's been preached many times, but the cloud and fire in our day are metaphors. They represent the glory. They represent the glory and the power of God. We talk about the cloud, the glory cloud, the Shekinah, the glory of God. Show us your glory. Oh, God, your glory. How many of us know there are times we get when we worship God, and I'm sure you experience it at Bethel often here, but if we'll dare to just lean in his direction, get off our base, get out of our comfort zone, and just lean in his direction and allow that worship and that praise to go up before him. Show us your glory. God visits us, and God will do more in a moment. God will do more in 5 minutes. God will do more in those brief times where we just give, when we just put aside the care, the burden, and give him our worship, and that glory of God comes in. And when the glory of God is before us, those other things that seem so important, so critical, So harmful just don't matter. And God does something, because he doesn't always change the circumstance, but he will most certainly change us to rise above the circumstance that might hinder us. So that glory and that power of God are still gone before us. We call him the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And remember what that power is for? Not just for fist fighting the devil and doing the power to be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. And where's Jerusalem for you? Right here in Meigs County. Power to be witnesses. It's not always easy to stand up for God, to be a witness for Jesus, but to do the right thing, to have integrity, to have humility, to love people that are not very lovable. Probably don't have any like that around here. We've got a few in Pennsylvania. They make it hard to love them. You ever have any? Well, I don't want to take up much time with that, but we have power to do that, to love them, to forgive them again and again and again and again and again and again, and to keep coming back with more of Jesus. What a gift. When we stay, we keep the Holy Spirit, the glory and power of God before us. The Israelites learned a very valuable lesson. They learned that the feet of desperation may carry you out of a tough place, but only the feet of faith will bring you to the promise. Yes. We don't come limping and whining to God. We come before God and we lay our burdens down, or we call upon the Lord and he raises us up. By the Spirit, he raises up faith within us, and then we can take that step to the next level and God will be with us and show himself surely on our behalf. Now, somebody said it already this morning, and so I thought, praise the Lord, God's gone before us. Here's a question that often comes to mind. Well, if God can do miracles, why not just go from here to there? Why doesn't he just put that $10,000 right here in my pocket right now and everything will be good? Here it is. Put it in. If he can do, why doesn't he just do those miracles? And I've asked for them at times too. The answer, though, is pretty simple. And I think it was Terry that might have said it, or Don Norman. It's the journey that we're on. The journey is just as important as the destination. He led them out by not the fastest way, but by a roundabout way, so that they might learn how to depend on him. And in our life, that journey, God's walking with us, but he wants us to get it along the way, that our help, it comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. It doesn't come from my employer. It doesn't come from my savings account. It doesn't come from the hospital down the road. It doesn't come from my cousin Fred, who always helps me out when I'm in a pinch. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Brother Otis, does the worship team come up as we close, or is that possible to do that? We could come at this time. That would be great. I want to try to put a bow on this before we pray and leave. You know, the devil's chief job as they're coming is to keep you from receiving God's promise for your life. We're talking about moving up to that next level for you. Jesus said, the thief comes not in John 10, verse 10. He said, the thief comes not, and I think this church knows that, but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come, Jesus said, that you'd have life and have it more abundantly, a full life, a whole life, a spirit-filled life, a Christ-centered life, not a life that just you're constantly putting blowout patches on and you're hoping you can make it till next Thursday, or you hope you can make it another day. Jesus said, I came that you'd have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly. A life of freedom, a life of peace, not filled with stress and fear. But the devil's got a real effective weapon in 2015. It's distraction. Distraction. If he can keep you looking another way, drifting away from the fire, drifting away from the cloud, if he can keep you looking another way, turning away from God, if he can keep you looking that way, he can keep you from the promise. Would you stand with me this morning? Now, I'm not bragging on the devil, but I'm just going to tell you what he can do. He can dress up a distraction so well that what's bad starts to look good. And I'm not just talking to the church now. I'm talking about our country. I'm talking about our communities. Things that we'd have never thought were okay, that we would never thought were good. The devil can take it and in people's minds say, you know, it really is good because it's fair and everybody's okay with this. He can take all kinds of things and just distract us long enough to drift away from truth, to drift away from God. The devil can present something that's really wrong and make it appear right. Well, Dad, all the kids are doing it. It's okay. It's all right. Really, it doesn't hurt us. You can make it look right. Can I remind us of this before we close? The further you get from the fire, the faster you can lose your way. The further you get from leaning on, recognizing that need for the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts, speak to our minds. He'll do that in a place of prayer. He'll do that during a worship service. He'll do that in a conversation with a godly friend. He could speak. It might just be an idea. It might be a hunch. It might be a thought. It might be just a fleeting notion to go be kind to someone that you know has had a hard time. Now listen, God will take the simplest actions that we do in faith and multiply them and bring you to a place where He lifts you up because you were faithful. Remember what Jesus said, he that's faithful in little things, I'll make him master over much. There's a next level in front of everybody. I don't want to get away from the fire. How about you? I don't want to get away from that leading. I don't want Bethel, and I know you won't with this leadership, ever get away from the fire. Can we pray today before we leave that we never get so comfortable in our own ways? Our own methods, our own traditions. Well, this is just the way we used to do it, and I think we ought to keep doing it that way. And if anybody messes with it, I don't know. I'm not going to like that. May we not get to that place where we trade the fire of God for our convenience. For what does it pressure me? What does it make me make a decision? So, are you ready to move to the next level? Only you can answer that. Are you ready to move up to that next level? Maybe to read your Bible just a little bit more. Maybe to put some intentionality into reading. God, speak to me today. I've got 5 minutes here. I already ate my lunch. And I've been struggling, though, Lord. And just read it. Pull it out. Soak it in. Your next level may be to be a better neighbor to those around you. Maybe your neighbor gets on your nerves. Maybe your neighbor has been spitting on your fence. Maybe your neighbor's dog gets on your nerves. Maybe your next level is just to show that person Jesus in a real way. Maybe your next level is to just pray with more discipline. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe your next level is it's time to step up and serve others. God's been speaking to you. Serve, serve. Commit some, I'm going to do this. I know Pastor has a vision. I know they've been sharing this and we've been kind of lacking, and I'll be the one to do it. Let me just say this before we close. You may be here, and you know in your heart that there have been distractions that have been pulling at you for some time. And if you'd be real, real honest, you'd admit that there's been some drifting. You've just drifted. I'm not saying you're off course. I'm just saying there had been some drifting. You drifted a little bit away from the fire, away from that leading of God's Spirit, that sweet spot in God. Let's just bow our heads together. I want to pray with you and pray for you. I'm feeling a special burden for young people this morning. I'm going to ask you this morning with our heads bowed. If you're under 20 years of age, I believe God sent me here from Pennsylvania especially to pray for you, because you're facing giants that many of us never faced at that age. There have been distractions that will pull at you and twist you and jab at you. But I'm here to remind you, you've got a great heritage in God. The Lord loves you so much. If you're a teenager, you're under 20 years of age, and you're here this morning. And just right there between you and God, and you know maybe there have been some things that's just kind of pulling at you, just kind of jabbing at you, just kind of been irritating to you. You want to live for God, but there's been these distractions, there's been these voices, there's been this pressure. If that's you in any way, and you know in your heart, you know what, Kevin, I want to live for God. I want to be able to bypass those voices. I want to be able to bypass that pull that pulls so strong in the world. If you're a young person and that's you, could I ask you to have the liberty to just make a few steps up to that? I want to pray for young people. I believe there's a heritage here that God's anointing is on for young people. In fact, when I close my eyes, I see this place overflowing with young people. If that's you, I want you to come. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray together. Young people, God is raising up a vanguard. He's raising up a banner. He's raising up a harvest of young people that have said no to hell and yes to heaven. Say, I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to walk for God. Can you guys just take another little step closer to me? Bless you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being willing to listen to the Holy Spirit. I want to do something else. If you're over 20 and you say, Kevin, I know there's been distractions. I know there's been distractions. And thank you. Thanks for the word, and I get it, and I want to move with God. I'm going to ask you to do something that might be uncomfortable. I want you to come up behind these young people and stand here with us. If you're ready to move up to that next level, and you know it's you, I'm not trying to coerce you, but if you know it's you, just come up right now because we don't have much time. But if that's you, you're ready to move. You're ready to move with God. No more distractions. Keep turning to the right, turning to the left. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give. I'm going to honor Jesus. I'm going to stop using the language I've used. I'm going to be more positive in my confession. I'm going to read that Bible. I'm going to apply that Bible. My neighbor's going to know I live for God, not because I tell him he's a sinner, but because I show the love of Jesus. Come on, somebody. God's speaking to some hearts this day. If that's you, come on up. We're just going to pray together. I'm not going to crank this out and make you stay here for another hour and a half. I already heard somebody's stomach rumbling. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you, it's not too late. If that's you, there's a next level in front. Everybody has a next level. I want you to remember that Impala. 10 feet high, 30 feet across, but can't move beyond a 3-foot fence. There might be a fence that's keeping you penned in. Today's a day of great liberty. Today's a day of release. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Lord, there may be others coming. I thank you right now. Lord, first I pray for these young people. God, let the light, the glorious light of the gospel radiate from them. Lord, they face pressures I never had to stare at. They see it every day. They hear it. God, guide them. Fill them, strengthen them, remind them. Lord, for each of these young people who say, that's me, I want to go to that next level. God, in this week, I pray this week there's an overwhelming presence of the joy of the Lord that gives them reason to laugh, to rejoice, to give thanks to God, to show their strength in God, and to say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. This is not just something I learned in Sunday school but doesn't apply to my life. Thank you, God, I'm feeling stronger. It works. The word is working in me. God, lift them to that next level. Leaders, leaders in faith. Leaders among their peers. Leaders in life. Leaders as they step into the world. Lord, I thank you, as I believe it was Terry said earlier, let that wow factor just hover over them. That wow factor of the Holy Spirit. That when others are discouraged and depressed and downcast, they're full of life and joy, full of peace. Father, for everyone that's gathered around here, everyone that's gathered around here, Lord, I thank you for that next level. that next level of kindness, that next level of compassion, that next level of faith, that next level of peace, that next level of direction. God, somebody's been seeking direction and you're speaking so clearly now. Now's the time to move. Now's the time to go. Take that step, that next level of giving. Why do we hold on so tightly to that which is not ours anyway? Oh God, I thank you for givers. Spirit, soul, body, givers. Our talent, our time, our treasure, we give. Hallelujah. Oh God, for that next step. Deal with our hearts. Deal with our hearts. Deal with our hearts. For these men and women present. Oh God, for the joy. For the overwhelming joy of the Holy Spirit. Let's take these closing minutes. I want to tell you something. God is leading. I wish it was a matter of, well, I don't really wish, but some people wish it was a matter of Kevin just giving you an instruction sheet, saying, here's what we do next. Here's what we do next. We thank God for his presence. Can we worship him? Let's just worship him. Let's take these closing moments. Let's worship him. Give him glory.